Hello. I still don't remember how I intro these book club episodes. Welcome to Writing About Dragons and Shit's book club for Morning Glory Milking Farm, a sentence I still can't believe I'm saying. I'm one of your hosts, Trevor Bettis. Joining me this week is Aaron M. Evans, B. Dave Walters, and special guest, Shauna Germain. Hello!
Well done.
I'm so excited Shauna's here because she's one of the first people I told we were maybe doing this.
Yeah.
I got so excited.
I feel like the conversation about this got more serious when Aaron was like, I told Shauna that joke idea and she wants us to not only do it, she wants to be on it.
This is dear
Give
listener.
Me it
this,
all.
Is, this is happening in no small part thanks to her, like, no, wait, for real. That I was like, I mean, shit, all right. I mean, we can tie it to something, and then here we are.
Yeah. And then we got people into a Discord.
Which, dear listener, if by chance you've yet to join the Discord, Trevor, will you give him our Discord deets?
Oh yeah, that's in the description below. So go click on that and join the Discord and have some fun. I'm flipping through the book right now to get to the chapters that we read, and I'm still caught off guard every time there's just a full page with an emoji milk can or bottle on it. Every time it comes up, I'm caught off guard. I'm like, good Lord.
Oh, wait, before we go on too far, dear listen, on the slim chance you listen to the book club, you don't listen to the full episode. I don't know. I've been on the internet. Zone of safety. You're into that? superstar author Aaron M. Evans. Second major book release dropped today.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell the people?
RuneScape: The Gift of Guthix came out today. So assuming you have blown through Relics of Ruin and you're like, I need more Aaron M. Evans books. Oh, I got you covered. So you do not need to know anything about RuneScape. I didn't know anything about RuneScape when I wrote it. So I made sure that it's not too jargony. Yeah, it's about... complicated friendships and complicated
frog
villains.
Bros.
A big old frog who thinks you're doing just great. And again, it is not based on Point Break. So have some fun.
Frog is real proud of you. I would just like to say a lot of people spend their whole lives dreaming about writing a novel, and Aaron's just out here casually just dropping two of them. She's like, what? couldn't hear you over the sound of me doing it twice. Get good.
See how doable it is.
Clearly, obviously.
Have you been there through those drafts? I don't know.
No one's interested in how the sausage
I'm sorry,
is made.
She wrote
man.
A first draft and it was perfect.
Shauna was my guiding light through writing the RuneScape book because it definitely
so
was took a lot of nose to the grindstone, not stressing about it too much, and having someone else look at it and go, yes, this makes sense. You have taken these game mechanics and made them make sense. And occasionally, you know you can do better than this.
I'm sure we'll talk more about it in the proper
yes
thing, but just want to say on the off chance, you know, go get it now.
I'm sure those people exist.
I appreciate we're going from like Minotaur sex to Frog Bros. Like there's a theme.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
The frog is very platonic.
Right. I was about to say, did anybody offer the frog a handy? I'm just saying. I don't know.
No, he just right. would like pastries and cakes. That's all. So it's
valid.
It's a very valid. Avuncular frog. Us. Not that kind of uncle.
Valid. I mean.
This week we're talking about chapter 6 or 7 and 8 and to give a quick recap, Violet has an appointment with a very vocal Minotaur and is thinking about her day and everything and how she's planned out the week specifically around thinking about one client in particular, and then is told she's getting some news and she freaks out she's being fired. Been there, very relatable. Had an instant connection there of like, I have good news and bad news. They're firing me, everything's terrible, I've lost my career, this is it's down the drain. Totally not
they that. know, they all found out. I will say, I must insert there the fact that she says the janitorial staff found the snail trail on the bench. And that's why you're fired. I laughed out loud at that. I gotta say, I laughed out loud at that.
That was almost one of my highlights. And then, yeah, it turns out the good news, bad news is that two of her clients have canceled. The good news being one of them was one of the good little cows. And she has the afternoon off. And so in chapter 8, she decides to go meet up with her new friend Gilly at that coffee shop. And wouldn't you know,
who
runs
was right?
In.
Who was right?
Oh, yeah, no. You are. Yep. Real quick, runs into the client. We find out his name. It's Rourke, right? Is that how we're saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Rourke. Which is a pretty romance novel name.
Yeah, that's what I was
guessing
thinking
last time. What it would be? Rourke did not come up, but I do think it fits the mold.
I'm looking at it. I'm pretty sure that reveal is on page 100. Like, this dude's name does not get revealed until page 100.
On page 100.
It's also close to the one you guessed. It's close to Roman.
It's true.
Yeah. Yep.
True.
Yep.
But they have a interesting back and forth, and there is a another name that's dropped in association with Rourke.
Yeah.
Maybe a partner, who knows?
Yeah.
And
I was like, Luriel, who's this bitch?
And and Violet just kind of leaves that interaction as quickly as she can to go back to Gilly, who is suddenly talking in the heaviest of British accents that I don't remember being there than the previous time we saw her.
She's British-ish.
Yeah, she's a British
punk. Oh, no, I know. I know she said she was from London, but this time I'm like, wow, they're bloody hell. All right.
I feel like that's probably a cultural swear, too. She's a vampire.
I would just like to say one thing. We've been at this for a little while now, and Shauna, this is your first time joining us, so I would like to open the floor to you first, not just about this week, but the book heretofore.
Catch us up on your thoughts.
Yeah, catch us up on your thoughts. I will say you posted about it on Instagram. I very much was the DiCaprio point when you posted a quote. I'm like, I know what she's reading. lay it on us.
You know, I think a lot of it's stuff that because I did listen to the previous ones that you guys have talked about before. And like some of it is like this sense of like smushing everything together in this world and doing it sort of seamlessly. I mean, I don't know that I have read a lot of books where you've got the vampires and the tieflings and the frog people and the this and the that and it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make a lick of sense.
She's like, talking about Queen Anne houses.
Yeah, and the economy and the way the houses are set up and the way the cities are set up, and yet somehow I don't care, which is a real feat, I think. Mm-hmm. Like that I'm just like, okay, cool, we got vampire cafes over here, and here's this girl who's like, who's sort of naive, but not, like innocent, but not necessarily naive, but who has this sort of wide open feel about discovering everything. And I'm so curious about, like, did she live before in a town that's mostly people? Because I know she had a thing for the Mothman, but like she didn't know anything about vampires and how the vampire cat is this like, it's not like small town to city, because she kind of went the opposite way. And so I'm super fascinated by the fact that this world is working despite the fact that like it doesn't work at all. It's such a beautiful thing. And I have lots of thoughts too about like, you know, the economy of it. It reminds me of bartending when I used to bartend, like this whole space of like who gets paid and how much do you get paid and what do you do with the people that are kind of jerks and all that kind of stuff. So I think that like there's just so much in here that's working, and like it kind of shouldn't be, which I love. I think that's fantastic.
I actually feel like that kind of sums up my feelings. It was like, this shouldn't work, but it is for me, and I am enjoying this.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about, like, is this sex work? Is one of the questions that I keep coming back to. Because it's depicted as though it's not, and yet it's also depicted as though it is. And so is it a rally for sex work? Is this a sex work positive thing? Or is the clinical nature of what's happening here an attempt to remove it from the sort of feeling of sex work, to not get into those spaces. And I think that's really interesting, because I think the vampire thing is not sex work, right? That's mm-hmm. got a different feel. And so I don't know. I can't tell. I keep kind of flip-flopping on how I feel about that.
Yeah.
It is weirdly like on the cusp, right? Like it does a lot of work to convince us this is not sex work. This is not sexual. But then at the same time, even in this chapter, right, it starts with a guy for whom it clearly is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even like I was telling you before, I can't quite get over the fact that she gets paid, he gets paid, and then he gives her a really big tip. Like, she's Giggity. Getting tips from people who are getting paid. Not yet. Also, if he's paying her 100 every time, how much are they making doing this?
Well, it must be a ton because he's super rich, right? So he doesn't need this.
This is the question I have. Like, do they get paid a ton? Like, are they getting $1,000 for a deposit, where $100 is a nice gesture, but not like, you know, losing it? Or are they getting paid like $200 and he's like, here's half sex work, right?
Nope. You're gonna ruin your search results, Trevor. Don't look it up. But from what I know,
what were you looking up?
How much do you get paid for a sperm donation?
That's what I was about to calculate in my head. But we've established this is a higher end place with a higher end clientele.
Mm-hmm. It's also for something that like a corporation is buying, yes, which throws that into a different thing.
If I
like
had to wager, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I just like there's no real world thing to compare it to. You can't be like, well, it's like this, because there's nothing quite like this.
It's funny, especially because she's attached a dollar amount to every other thing in a way that we understand. If I had mm-hmm. to wager a guess, I felt like this is like $1,000 to $1,200 for the ones that are serious about it, because we've gotten and we understand that some are really serious about it.
And they've said that business. People like live off of this, like the earners off of this. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, you know, if you're getting like $1,000 a week or whatever, and you don't necessarily live in Cambridge Creek. Oh, yes.
So according to the sperm bank that I am from, it's $150 for each acceptable sperm sample. This is what I hate, is that this is from the official place. Donors who make regular weekly or twice weekly appointments can earn $700 to $1,200 per month. All right.
I'm gonna make it a thousand per. I'm gonna make it because here's the other side of it. If we're going with our Christian Grey fantasy here, below a certain amount, it wouldn't be worth his time.
Yeah, like, there's that.
Because he's rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, unless he likes it,
and then we're back to sex work.
They said that this is a thing that needs to happen for them, because they like they have to do this in order for it. But then there's the pharmaceutical side of it, where and he says, you know, the shower drain things was like, may as well make money off of it.
I thought he was saying, yeah, well, I mean, I took it to mean like they talked about other creatures having a heat period, but not the Minotaur specifically. And he sort of was more like, well, you're going to jack off anyway, why not get paid for it?
Yeah,
that, which I think then goes to like, it's got to be a lot, because there is still the like the time cost, the like, you know, I'm going to take time out of my day to go do this thing, right? I know someone who once told me, an author who gets paid very well, who's like, I don't go to my mailbox for less than $2,000. And he's exaggerating, sure. But at the same time, that's the mindset, right? Damn. It's got to be enough that it's worth doing, because otherwise, like, ugh.
Man, you don't have to reach that far. I have a very specific dollar amount that I will not leave the house for. Like I'll jump on Zoom probably for free, pending what you're asking me to do. But if I have to be at a place, nah. But and also, because he did say that like every Minotaur does this. He's like if they tell you they don't, they're lying to you. Remember he said that.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, they're not all weird freaky pervs. So there's got to be worth it. to like get a handy from a stranger, because that is odd.
Yeah, it is odd.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, the closest I can think of is like going to get a massage and getting a hand job at the end of it. But even then, the guy getting the massage is not getting paid. No equivalent to that. It reminds me weirdly a little bit of, did you ever read Bonk, the book by Mary Roach about sex? And she talks. So she's this fantastic nonfiction author, and she wrote this book called Bonk. And it's all like, there's this whole section about how they have to like actually manually stimulate pigs in order to get them to breed. And so like, as a human being, you have to go and do all this stuff to the pigs in order to get them to copulate. And so like, it reminds me a little bit about that. Like the, there has to be this human interaction for that, which of course I thought was super absurd. And so, but it does feel like that, like there clearly needs to be a human element to this.
I take this. One, I do think it is sex work. Objectively, I think it's sex work. Because other, I just do, even contextually. Especially from the experience of the client, like we got during this chapter. But it's funny to me that, like, and I understand this would be a fairly logical progression of your job. I think everybody's job starts off being kind of like, oh, I'm terrified that I'm doing it wrong. Oh, I really kind of like it here. And then you're like, okay, this is the thing I do. That she's like annoyed that this dude's like, he just wants a handy. I'm like, Violet, my sister in Christ, you're literally giving him a handy. Like, what? What is this?
So I have a question. Yeah. So if you think it's unequivocally sex work, then are the good cows, whatever they're called, is this slut shame? Are we slut shaming them? Are we like shaming them for their thing?
Violet is. I'm not, but she is.
No, not we. Yeah. But like we as in the corporation and the sort of culture and like, because I kept coming back to like, are they? I think they are. But
yes.
Then I could also think about like people in bars who like expect you to be more than their bartender. And, like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, but it's all kind of weird.
I do think like it, as far as like world building and stuff goes, because like we have, you know, let a lot slide as far as like, what the hell is going on? Why are these things mashed up together? But like I do agree that it is sex work, but I think as far as the good little cows and stuff goes, that like this is a industry now onto itself, and there are etiquettes around them much in the way of other transactional things between you know, customer service sort of thing. And so I do think that those are ones where it's like, this is a known type of customer that happens. We do not like it or endorse it, but we can't really say no to it.
And yet, I mean, even like strip clubs are like, don't touch the women, right? And this is clearly a much better way of sex work, because it's legalized. It's, you know, it's got all these procedures. It's got all these protections. So like, I kept coming back to like, why aren't they charging these cows more? Because you know that's what would happen. And or putting the kibosh on them, because it feels like that's what would happen in that space.
Yeah,
that's interesting, because it does feel like, to Trevor's point, it almost feels like they're like the customer who comes in and wants the employee discount, and just give it to them because, fine, that'll be faster to just get through it. I'll just put on a different set of scrubs. But at the same time, we're crossing over into a space where there's like, you know, boundaries.
Yeah, no, I forgot about the scrubs. You know? They do endorse it. Yeah,
me too. They do.
Because they need you to come here, giggity. We've established that there's multiple locations, and this is the nice one. So if they'll do the thing that you like here without making it weird, and you're more likely to book here,
it's true. I believe
she was told by the moth girl that it's like, you don't ever have to do anything you don't want to do. If you ever feel unsafe, say something, you know, we'll get you out of there.
Right.
But yeah, no.
But we know how work is, right? Yeah. You just sort of start to slide down that.
Well, I mean, back to your bartending days. I mean, I'm certain you understood how to talk to certain people to get them to stay, to get them to go, to get them to tip, to get them to shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah. So
it's a learned skill, right?
Mm-hmm. Comes with the territory.
Before we run out of too much time on this book club episode, I do want to turn the focus to the coffee shop part
Wait, can I say one thing before I go to coffee shop, though?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a line in there that has absolutely freaked me out, which is he weighed almost as much as her compact car.
Yes!
This creature that she's thinking about having sex with weighs as much as her car!
I was like,
you... for, like, body play, but, like, don't smush me till I die! Yeah.
every time I have just thrown away my Big Gulp container that it's, like, 24 ounces... I just have a big container, dear listener. 24 ounces.
That's too much.
Yeah, a baby Minotaur batter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like.
But anywho, yes, no, that was terrifying. No,
I do need to point out one other thing, too, that she is an art history major with a master's in nonprofit management. I was like, did you just open a course catalog and pick the most useless degrees that you could think of, dear author? CM Nascosta. She's like, I'm just waiting for the right thing. I'm like, what's the right thing? What do you think you're going to do with that skill set?
I think she wants to do like historical like building preservation or something, which again, very niche. Very, very niche.
Maybe that's why there's so much talk about the houses and stuff.
That was my vibe, that she's like, that's what she really wants to do, is like kind of get in working on like, you know, what do you call that? Where they decide that this house, like, is like a
historical
thing
preservation and, society. Oh,
preservation, that
preservation
kind of thing.
Society.
I have to admit, there was one. This is like a very nitpicky kind of world building thing when she's like trying to figure out where he might live, and like she doesn't seem to know the names of any of the towns around her, and I found that really strange. Like, she came to Bridgeton to go to grad school. She went to grad school. She's finished grad school. She lives there. And then one, she's like, where's Cambrick Creek? I'm like, it's literally within a commute of you. You don't know where that is? And then she's like, oh, she looked up these other places. And I'm just sitting here going like, how did you never leave your apartment? Is that a thing? I was very confused about that. But
I gotta say that, like, I think it depends on how big the city is supposed to be, because, like, you know, I'm looking at a map, and around me right now are Monterey Park, Alhambra, San Marino, San Gabriel, Temple City, El Monte, South El Monte, Baldwin Park, La Puente. Like, I know those places exist, but and I know they exist roughly that way.
And that was it. She's like, I know this is over here. It definitely read. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
Oh, she looked up Startling Heights, discovering it was another town separated from Cambrick Creek by Greenbridge Glen. And I'm like, you had to look it up? That seems very weird. You live here. Like, these are the places around you. And so
I know some very directionally challenged people.
But places around here?
I don't know. We were having the conversation the other day, and you were asking about places, and I was like, I don't know, India. And you were like, no, I meant like
I was like, we're in the city. So maybe that's the deal. Maybe when she thinks about like, maybe I should move, she's like, maybe Zambia or Sri Lanka or Croatia.
I would just like to say, dear listener, if you weren't with us from the beginning, I said from episode freaking one, she'd run into him in a coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, as soon as he recommended it, I was like, nope, B-Day was right. Big hundo, that's where it's happening.
It was such a perfect trope, too.
Yeah.
The potential girlfriend trope, like, slid right into that.
I feel very confident that's why I wanted to keep reading, honestly, because I'm like, that's not as going to be his girlfriend. Could be cousin, lesbian roommate, one of these things.
Ex-wife. I also, this is the first time that I wanted to like go a little further ahead. And I didn't. But, you know, something that irritated me so much, and I realized this is kind of the all is lost portion of the book, is how quickly, I guess this whole romance has lived and died in her head.
Yeah.
That how quickly she was like, this is just how it is, and like freezes up on him, and then it's like, yeah, I'm on a date and all this other stuff. It's like, you can just use your words. Like, you can. it's a good way to learn things. Like, he's right there.
Yeah.
Plus her friend calls him a delicious slab of beef.
I know. Gilly has no chill, and I love it.
And she's a vampire because reasons.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Shauna. We were talking about this last week that the author has done a wonderful job of setting up the world building in such a way that she's like, I ran into a punk British vampire that was turned in the 80s. And you're just like, okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
Cool.
Sure. Great. And, here we are. And
I see why you want to be friends with her.
Yeah.
Was his name Spike?
Yeah. Like, I want to go to the Blood restaurant. I'm kind of hoping she features prominently in one of the sequels. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Me too. Well, plus, she's like such a good friend, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say at first I did get mixed up with names. I thought at the end of chapter 7 she was talking about going to the restaurant to meet up with Gilly, and I'm just like, okay, I need to know what this place is about and like why you're like, I'm gonna go there on in an afternoon. But I'm more happy with what happened.
I did briefly get that impression too, that she was just gonna pop by the Blood restaurant for lunch, like.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that was thinking about.
You're real into this. Her excitement about the Blood restaurant, I find confusing, but also adorable and still in the vein of Violet, right? She just wants to try new things really bad.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And I love that for her, right?
Me too.
And there's just a part of me that's like, sweetie, maybe not the Blood restaurant. That just seems like all kinds of health code violations for you.
Or do the Blood restaurant.
No, don't do the Blood restaurant.
No, might be on the menu. Also, Shauna, I have to say, you have the hard copy of the book, right?
I do not.
I was going to say, if you've gone through the same cascading awareness of what the cover actually is that we've been discussing.
I think this is symbolic. No! Oh, yeah. Dave thinks it's not symbolic.
It's look at where symbolic. It is on his crotch. That is not symbolic.
I have the
symbolic.
Same cover. Okay, yeah. I have to look at the cover.
Yeah, Shauna,
my God.
For a while there, I was like, no, I can't be that. But then I realized that in the grand scheme of this book and what we've been told, it's more ridiculous if it is a thing of milk. Because what the fuck's going on there with that?
What else would it be? It's totally, totally milk. Are you kidding?
Yep.
It's because they couldn't put a cock on the cover, so they put
right?
The,
yep. That's what I'm saying. It's symbolic. It's the bingo of that world. It's the placeholder.
I will admit that those little milk bottles that say MG on them, I keep thinking they stand for my God. That's the reaction I have. My God.
every time I'm on Kindle and one of those pages come up, I'm just like, oh Jesus. It's like they startle just me. So I don't know that why.
So just dear listener, even if you don't know exactly how much 24 ounces is, that's two cans of Coke. Like so if you got one, just
much.
two of those. Yeah. Of man.
So has managed to make like talking about it being so messy not like an instant turnoff. I mean, I don't want it, but like I totally understand why she does. And I kind of feel amazed at that. Like, I've written a lot of erotica, and I've written a fair bit of erotica about things I have absolutely no personal interest in. And I hope that I've made it super hot. But like this, I don't know I can pull this off. Like, we were also talking about the door erotica and the pillow erotica. Like,
yeah.
I think that I draw the line at like some things I just don't know how to make hot. And she sort of totally manages just to make me believe that Violet wants this very badly.
Yep. And continues to make it interesting each, and then like was able to make this experience that wasn't positive today not hot. Like, it is impressive.
Yeah, because there's a lot there, as you guys have talked about, right? There's a lot of hand jobs in here.
Yeah.
And the difference between hand jobs that are clearly not hot and have no chemistry and are either just sort of sterile work, or even worse, are, you know, sort of a little bit skeevy in that context, like, and then the difference between when she's with him is just, it's so stark. It's absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, one thing that we've been seeing for each of these is putting out our predictions for where this is headed. So give our guest here, where you think this is going unto the end.
I feel, well, I don't know about the end, but I feel like next up we're going to get the conversation. We're going to get like, he's going to ask why she ran away, right? Or comment on the date or do some kind of like something like that. And she's going to find out that person, whose name I can't remember, is not is not what she thinks is worried that it is. And so there's going to be this opportunity for them to come together. And I don't know what that looks like yet. Maybe I don't want to know. I'm not sure.
L'Oreal.
That's my sort of what's next. L'Oreal. Yeah, L'Oreal's not really in the picture, I don't think.
I did put out the prediction episode one that they were gonna, whoever was gonna ask out on the date was gonna happen in one of these fucking collection rooms. They got an appointment coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Which that might,
or at least that sort of warm fuzzy of what's next. Yeah.
I definitely think there is a very good chance she's going to get fired, though, because like there's been so much emphasis on, you know, propriety, not crossing certain lines. I mean, even beyond her own panic, like, I mean, it's been said out loud.
Yeah.
I think if I had to wager my guess again, I think I'm going to go so far as to say not only is L'Oreal like sister, she might be like twin sister, like a co-business owner. Ooh. Like, I mean, like. Right there.
Interesting. Because we still don't know what he does, right?
No.
Well, no. He was talking about sourcing parts. He was talking about sourcing axles. So something in that capacity.
Interesting.
I think she's gonna flake on that day's appointment. I think next week he's gonna show up. I think she's gonna be flighty and he's kinda gonna check her with a little BDSM undertones. And that's when we're kind of going to find out the truth. I think, because we do need to spend some time in the all is lost moment, but not too much time. Cause it's not what the fans, you know, paid to see here.
This isn't the big all is lost. I don't think this is just like a little glitch. I think there's also the ring. He also has the ring in his nose and we don't know what that symbolizes yet for them. Right. Like, is that a,
yeah, and he doesn't have it on the cover. I don't know if that's relevant. We're a little under half. So you guys don't think this is the all is lost.
It's too little.
No.
The misunderstanding trope is like you said, just if you can use your words, ask, right?
Right.
This feels like a little glitch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's gotta be a bigger one. And ideally that bigger one has to do with the like them not dealing with their internal thing and them not working together on whatever problem is. And so once they undo that, then they come together. And I don't know how different a romance novel is from erotica. Like if erotica has different patterns aside from there is more sex and the sex is more frequent. So that's my suspicion. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's tied into her getting fired. But I also think her getting fired is going to loop back into that he's so successful and she's such a mess kind of trope. And he's going to, I'm going to say this. I bet somehow he helps her get a job in that sort of preservation sphere and they move in together and live off his paycheck. I bet that's where this ends up.
A little bit of a feminist in me finds that very pissy. That's not what happens. I don't want her to get fired. I was kind of thinking that he might disappear, like, and she would think that, you know, something had happened and he wasn't interested in her, but it turned out to be some, you know, work thing or whatever.
He does travel for business.
He does travel for business.
Nebulous business.
I know this is weird and this is not my prediction. I want them to have a fling and I want them to enjoy it. I don't want them to be together at the end. Like, I want them to go separate ways. I don't know why.
I mean,
but I know that's not what's going to happen.
She's already thinking about babies.
Yeah. Babies that she doesn't want, which is so wild.
But she doesn't want the babies.
When I started reading that, I'm like, because like my wife reads these books and she's like, this fucking book did the pregnancy trope again. Are you fucking kidding me? And I was reading, I was like, are you really setting this up?
Go ahead. No, please.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, she hasn't run into a half anything yet. Like, I guess
that's true.
It must be feasible because she didn't approach it as, can we procreate?
Yeah.
She approached it as, what would the babies look like?
Yeah.
There have to be a ton of couples who are doing this, right?
It's interesting we haven't seen any because I feel like...
I agree.
If I were writing this, I would be very inclined to early on set up you know, like in just randomly Relics of Ruin, there's a character who is half Orizondi and half human. And that is relevant for a couple of reasons. There are two couples that are in this formation. And so like putting that character in is like, this has, these are not going to be the obstacles here.
Yeah.
And so, but at the same time, like we've said, this world is just cheek by jowl, different kinds of people. Every chapter, there's something new. This time we got frog babies and they were very cute. Yep. I have to admit, I liked the frog kids.
They were cute.
They were cute and gross, but in the way kids are cute and gross. So I'm not, I'm totally open to it. And I think you've got a point. She didn't go, would this even work? She goes, oh, like, would they be cute?
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
Thinking about what Trevor said though, and like, I do feel like you're right. Like, this is all chemistry. They don't even fucking know each other. She doesn't know his name. They've never had a real conversation that wasn't him with his cock out. Like, there is no, like there's no intellectual anything happening here. And like, chemistry is cool and amazing and awesome. It can grow into like love and all that other stuff. But like, so far, I feel like all we've seen is chemistry, and it's good chemistry.
Yeah.
But
and it's untested chemistry on her end. She knows she's horrible at it. She's just like, I bet he's amazing. I bet his tongue is great and all these
things. I was just thinking about the tongue fantasy, right? Like,
I want her to have sex so bad just because this poor girl cannot go 15 minutes without like having an elaborate fantasy. She is clearly climbing the walls.
Like, and possibly setting herself up for disaster, right? Like,
literally.
The way that she's imagining, like, particularly this cuddling scene is like, do you even know he's ever done that with a human? Like, not at all the same. Like,
again, he's the weight of a car. He might just fucking
like,
break
I
you.
I don't do that. Like, I guess, deal off.
Well, but think about it. Think about it. Whomst among us has ever had a fantasy where we fantasized about it going poorly?
Absolutely. Legit.
Well, that's called catastrophizing, and I'm great at that.
It's been jumping to babies when you don't know his name and you don't actually know if your fantasies are going to play out.
Yeah.
Or if he's, you know, chews with his mouth open.
Oh boy.
Does he chew
choose the cud. Yeah, right. He must. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I've been finding a place to start wrapping up this episode of the book club, and I think that's where it's going to be.
There we go.
24 ounces is where you wrap up this book club. That is two full Coke cans.
Thank you all so much for listening. Shauna, in case there are those folks who are only listening to the book club, where can people find you on the interwebs?
They can find me at shaunagermain.com and also over at Monte Cook Games, and pretty much anywhere that you can search for Shauna Germain, you will probably find me.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the book club. And now we're going to go record a regular episode of Writing About Dragons shit. So that's going to do it for this week's stuff. So yeah, again, I don't know how to close out. So bye.
Moo. We started with a moo. We had to end with a moo.